We're beginning another new year of sowing and harvesting. And I want to ask the question of all of us, what would be pleasing to our Heavenly Father as we approach a new missions year? What would be pleasing to God when He calls, and will we answer? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6. Would you stand with me for just a moment and follow along as I read, beginning in chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now, he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Father, bless to our hearts your word, the skit, the testimony that we've heard, and we open ourselves to you and pray that in these next couple of minutes that you would speak to us, and we will say, we hear and we will obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I think what would please the Lord first and foremost is that we would decide that our best investment is in gospel stock. We know that people invest in the stock market, and perhaps you have retirement with your company, with your work, and you've invested over the years. Some years ago, Kathy and I decided that we would invest more in heavenly treasure through missions every year than we invest in our retirement. And I believe that that's a wise decision. I don't know whether you knew, but the stock market has declined. Did you know that? But the treasure we've invested in heaven, that has not declined. It's doing pretty well. It's going to keep doing well. And someday, when we get to heaven, because we've invested money, we're going to have people in heaven say that they're thankful that we've invested. Amen? And God wants us to do that. Jesus was God's investment for us. God had only one son, and he made him a missionary. Years ago, before the creation of the world, in the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, the triune God met together. The Trinity met, and they decided that in creating the world, since there was going to be a time in that creation that there would be a fall, that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son, would come to earth, he would take a human body, and he would die a shameful, painful death, hanging on a wooden cross by nails until he died to pay for our sins. That was decided by God. And God the Father gave his only begotten Son that we might be saved. I'd say that's a pretty good investment. That was a necessary investment. There was no other way that we could be saved and go to heaven. And we're called to invest in the gospel. We're called from above. God says, Who will go for us? Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? There's a call from above. There's a call from beneath, those who have died and have gone to hell, like the rich man in hell who said to Abraham, send someone to tell my brothers that he might warn them not to come. They might warn them not to come to this terrible place of torment. There's a call from above, there's a call from below, and there's a call from other countries around the world where people are saying, come over and help us. Like the Macedonians were depicted in Scripture and calling Paul and Silas to Macedonia and to Philippi. So we need to invest. There's a scripture I put in your notes there, Luke 16 and verse number 9. The Bible says, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that is, use money to make friends with the gospel, that when ye fail, when you die, and you will die, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Wouldn't it be wonderful to go to heaven and have somebody from Uruguay or Ecuador or El Salvador or Africa say, thank you for investing in missions that I could be saved, because it was your money that enabled that missionary to come to me and help me to know Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be awesome? 33 years ago, Kathy and I made the decision that people of New England needed the gospel. So we came up here with $12.50 a week of support. We didn't know anybody, but we knew people needed Jesus. And I have never regretted it. I'm thankful for a wife who was willing to leave her family and come to New England, because there are very few Bible preaching churches in New England. What would our Father want from us today? He would want us to decide that the best investment is gospel stock. And He would want us to be generous with the seed. Would you write that in your notes? Be generous with the seed. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. It would be a foolish thing for a farmer to hold back seed instead of sowing it in the ground, wouldn't it? Are you loving your life or donating it? You ought to donate your life. The Bible says, he that loves his life shall lose it, but he that gives his life for the gospel's sake shall find it. We ought to be donating our lives. And then make weekly deposits in faith. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Make weekly deposits in faith. Have you ever gotten nervous about the phone call that Sharon depicted a few minutes ago? You ever get nervous about thinking, hey, I don't know whether I want to ask the Lord what He wants me to give by faith every week. I don't know whether I really want to ask Him. I don't know whether I really want to hear from God. How many have ever gotten nervous about faith promise time? Anybody ever got nervous about it? But you've got a great God. He's able to supply your need according to His riches in glory. He's able to give you power to get wealth. He's able to make that old car run another 100,000. He's able to keep you from going to the doctor and paying copays. He's able to supply you with good coupons that you can get good food and not have to pay as much money. He's able to give you more work. He's able to do all kinds of things, maybe give somebody an impression that they should give you money, maybe inherit some money. God's able, if you will just trust Him and believe that He is God, He's able. Amen. To do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So you should make weekly deposits in faith. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:17, and this really fits with Brother Miguel's testimony. Turn there with me, would you? Take the time. Let's turn over there. Proverbs 19:17. Right in the middle of your Bible, right after the Psalms, you'll find the Proverbs, where it's good to read a chapter every day, and you can read through the Proverbs once a month. About 31 chapters there in Proverbs. Give you practical wisdom for life. That would help young people to not talk and share with one another, but to listen and pay attention and learn and profit from the Word of God. Amen? Amen? Chapter a day. Read it with me out loud, would you? Proverbs 19:17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. If you have pity on the poor, you lend to the Lord. Did you know that the wealthy Jews in Longmeadow that Matt goes to school with are poverty-stricken? They're poverty-stricken. If you don't have Jesus, you're poor. But if you have Jesus, you're rich. Paul said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. You're the rich people. You got Jesus. If you've got Jesus, you're wealthy. If you don't have Jesus, I don't care how much money you have. I don't care if you have 16 bathrooms. If you got 16 bathrooms, by the way, you got a problem. Amen. I don't care how big your house, how fancy your car, but if you don't have Jesus, you are poverty stricken. And if you lend to the poor, if you give to the poor, you're lending to God, and that which you pay, you give, you'll get paid back from God. You believe that? Amen. That's the Bible. You believe the Bible? How many believe the Bible? Amen? Amen? Amen. We can give to the poor who don't have the gospel and receive back from God. And the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's what men will give back to you if you'll give to Him. So we need to invest in gospel stock. One more thing. Anticipate the strength to prosper from the Lord. Anticipate the strength to prosper from the Lord. Notice our text said, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work, as it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. I think the Bible says we should increase in our giving. Increase. We need to promise to give with faith in God's ministry of seed, food, and multiplied fruit. God will minister that to us if we'll give. So the gospel should be your priority number one investment. You should be generous with the seed by making weekly deposits through faith. And you should expect God to supply for you so that you could give. And you ought to start out by donating your life. You ought to start out by donating your life. Some of you ought to be open to being missionaries. Some of you ought to say, with my life as a young person, I'd be willing to go to Bible college and be a missionary and reach people with the gospel. I do care that people are going to hell all around me. They're poverty stricken and they need the Lord. And I want to give my life. And if you'll take me, I'd be willing to go and be a missionary anywhere in the world. Some of you ought to start out by doing that. But everyone here ought to be holding the lifeline. Everyone here ought to be tithing to show that God's in charge of all of your money. And everybody here ought to be giving over and above the tithe significantly to missions. And that includes teenagers, that includes young people. Everybody here can give something to God by faith to missions. Because that's where the heartbeat of God is. You want to see God work in your life? You want to see God show Himself strong in your behalf? Then get involved in the thing that God's involved in. Amen? Get involved in what God wants you to be involved in. And give by faith and give every single week unto the Lord. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you'd create faith in us, that you'd help us to invest in gospel stock. Help us to know that it's a worthwhile investment to lay up treasures in heaven, and to believe that if we give to the poor, we're really lending to you, and that you'll give back to us. But we don't give to get, we give to be a blessing. We give to share in the great work of God, the cause that's greater than any other cause on the face of this earth. Bless us now and impress upon us an amount we can give by faith. And we'll thank you and we'll trust you in the coming missionary year beginning this Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like our ushers to come back again. And we're not going to have a regular invitation. We're going to have a time of missionary commitment with our Faith Promise missions. And we're going to do that together. Inside of your bulletin, you should have had a Faith Promise missions commitment sheet.